Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be proclaiming God's word today from the Old Testament reading from the book of Genesis, the account of Jacob's wrestling match, through which we find in some sense he's been wrestling with God. Let's read to you again verse 26. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word, we pray for your Holy Spirit. Lead us to an ever deeper faith, which does not let go of you, even in the midst of suffering. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Often when I read this account of Jacob's wrestling with God, I can't help but think of the Chronicles of Narnia and how Aslan is described there, Aslan, that sort of Christ figure in those stories. When the children ask at one point about Aslan and whether he's safe, the beavers respond, "Safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good." Later on, they're also told this: "You mustn't press him, Aslan. He's wild, you know, not like a tame lion." This text is one of those where we are reminded that while our God is infinitely good, he is not safe in the way we may like to think. He's definitely not tame. He visits the man who is to become the father of his chosen people, and he wrestles with him. He puts his hip out of joint. He leaves him with a permanent limp. This is no tame God of our understanding. But if you sometimes feel like your life with God is a bit of a wrestling match, this story has good news for you. Because ultimately God's blessing comes through the wrestling. God's blessing through wrestling. This is our theme for today. And as we unpack it in this text, we'll look at the four stages of this account. First is God's initiative. Then is Jacob's response. Then is his new name. And finally is a greater blessing. God's initiative, Jacob's response, the new name, and the greater blessing. First is God's initiative. Right through the book of Genesis, and in fact right through the Bible, we find this theme of God not waiting for people to come to him, but instead the Lord coming to them, coming to reveal himself and who he is. But in this case, it's a very different sort of initiative. It's a very different sort of coming. Because he's coming not to heal him, but to wrestle him. Not to comfort him, at least in the first place, but to afflict him. Now, I think it's good, though, to take a step back and get some context for this wrestling match we find. Because you may remember that Jacob's life was one where he was often wrestling and struggling in one way or another. It began right back with his twin brother, even in the womb, where there was this argy-bargy with Esau. Later on, Jacob was the trickster who deceived his father and his brother out of the firstborn blessing, with the help of his mother, of course. After this, Esau is out to get revenge, and so Jacob heads off to Uncle Laban's for his own safety and also to find a wife. He falls in love with Rachel, serves Laban for 7 years, only then to be tricked himself, the old switcheroo on the wedding night. And so it's another 7 years service for Rachel. Now he's on his way back to the promised land. The land that God had promised him, and it's reckoning day with Esau. They're about to meet up again, and Jacob does not know how this will go. And so when you look at Jacob's whole life, this is not the first time he's been struggling. He's been struggling with people all along, with his father, with his brother, with his uncle. And so when we hear at the beginning of our account that a man came to wrestle with Jacob, I think we're meant to understand that there could be any number of men wanting to wrestle with Jacob. Esau, Laban, one of their men, it could be anyone. But what this points us to at a deeper level, I'll suggest, is that beneath and behind all of Jacob's wrestling and struggling through his life is actually a greater struggle. Is his struggle with God. It's very surprising, though, that of all the people who could come to afflict Jacob, it's not Laban. It's not Esau, it's God himself. This God is not tame. And this points us to one of the very mysterious parts of life with the one true God, which is although he is perfectly good, although he does love us more than we can imagine, he does also allow pain and suffering to come into our life. As the book of Hebrews says, he does discipline the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. How are we to picture life with God? It may be nice for us to think that life with God would be something like sitting in a nice, comfortable recliner by the warm fire, surrounded by those we love. But actually, here, life with the true God is depicted more like a wrestling match outside at night, alone. And if that's where you are in your life right now, please know that this is not a sign that God is not with you. On the contrary, this is simply life with the one true God. And as we'll come to see, the wrestling, the struggle, it is out of love. His blessing does come through the wrestling. But first we need to acknowledge that the wrestling is not comfortable. That this God is not tame, but he is good. That's simply God's initiative in coming to wrestle with Jacob. Next, let's consider Jacob's response. How does Jacob respond to this? Well, first he responds by putting up quite a fight, doesn't he? This wrestling match goes all night, and we're told that the man is not prevailing against Jacob. Now, it's quite a strange thing to read, isn't it, when we know that in some sense God's power is behind this wrestler. Luther saw in this something a bit like a father wrestling with his kids. You know, when a dad roughhouses with his kids, it can actually get pretty willing. And the kids actually want dad to sort of push back a bit and make a bit of it. And at one level, dad is always in control. He'll always bring it to an end when it's time for dinner or whatever. But there's also a sense in which you can realize, even as an adult play fighting with kids, that, gee, this kid's not going to give up. I could put an end to this any time, but to the extent to which I've limited the use of my strength and accommodated myself to the wrestling level of the child, I'm not going to prevail against them. They are not going to give up. There's something like that perhaps going on in this. But then there's the turning point in the story when you do realize this man has been in control the whole time. He touches Jacob's hip and puts it out of the socket. Now, our translation says he struck it. The majority of translations go with a softer word there, which does seem to be the consensus opinion, that he simply touches his leg, his hip, and it's wrenched out of joint. And all of a sudden, you're meant to realize that this man, whoever he is, he's been in control the whole time. And so the man says, "It's over, Jacob. Let me go. The day is breaking." And here's where Jacob himself seems to realize there's something much more going on. And he has this incredible response. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now, if you trace the story of Jacob through, when you hear this, you realize something profound has happened to Jacob. Because this is Jacob who is Mr. Self-Reliant. This is Jacob who is always coming up with his own schemes, his own plans to get ahead. But now he has been truly humble. Now there is a complete reliance and even desperation for God to bless him no matter what. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Doesn't it sound too like the woman in our gospel reading, the Canaanite woman? This woman who experiences less than enthusiastic responses from Jesus, to say the least. And yet she clings on to him, saying in her own way, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Perhaps you are in a place right now, as I said earlier, where your life with God feels like a bit of a wrestling match. People speak to pastors regularly about these sorts of experiences. There's a problem in life. You pray about it and you pray about it again, but not only does it not seem to get better, it seems to get worse. And then something else happens on top of that, and we ask, why, God? It's not enough that I feel like I'm struggling with everyone else. Now I feel like I'm struggling with you. Why does it always have to be such a struggle? This text does not give us neat answers to those deep questions of the heart. But one of the very simple messages of encouragement from this text is that if you are in the middle of something like that right now, do not let go. Do not give up. Cling to God even in the midst of the pain and continue to say to him, I will not let you go unless you bless me. He will. He always does. There was God's initiative in the wrestling. There's Jacob's response in clinging for blessing. And now there's the outcome of the wrestling match, the new name. There's a transformation of Jacob here. So much so that God decides he needs a new name, just like Abram and Sarah. He's moving into a new phase here. And so after Jacob refuses to let go, he is asked, what is your name? Now that either seems like a fairly insignificant question, or a strange question given that we know, in some sense, this is God. Presumably he knows. What's actually going on here in this question? I think there's something quite deep going on here. Think about this in contrast to another time that Jacob was asked about who he was. Jacob got a similar question from his father once upon a time. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said, I am Esau, your firstborn. Are you really my son, Esau? Jacob answered, yes, I am. There's Jacob the deceiver. Now the question comes again, though, what is your name? Jacob. In other words, here you see the evidence that Jacob has been well and truly brought to his knees. He has been humbled. Through his suffering and his struggling, he has finally been brought to the place where he can own up to who he is and everything he's done. Yes, I'm Jacob. Yes, my whole life has been trying by my own strength to get ahead, trying to trick and deceive and outsmart, and yes, I did it to my own father, and yes, I did it to my own brother, and now my brother is coming again, and it's all finally catching up with me. Yes, I'm Jacob. I admit it. I confess it. But I'm still not letting go until you bless me. And then here is the paradox. At Jacob's absolute lowest point, at his moment of greatest weakness, now he receives the blessing. Now he receives the new name, Israel. Now he's ready to be the father of the 12 tribes of the chosen people. Now he's ready to be the one through whom God's blessing comes to the nations. Now the sun rises on him, the text says. This is a little resurrection. But the wrestling was no joke, because now he does walk with a limp. The blessing of the Lord that comes through the struggle, it is real. It is dynamic. It is powerful. It is transformative. And time after time, mature Christian people will tell me that when they look back across their life's journey, they finally get a glimpse of this. They see that their times of greatest growth, or perhaps from this perspective we could say the times when God's transformative blessing came into their lives in the most powerful ways, were not the easy times, but it was the tough times. It was the times of wrestling. It was the times of struggle. The blessing comes through the wrestling. So there was God's initiative, there was Jacob's response, there was the new name, but finally there is the greater blessing. The greater blessing. While everything I've said so far is true, we are still missing a piece of the puzzle. Yes, life with God is sometimes a wrestle. Yes, whatever you do, don't give up. Cling to God and receive His blessing through the struggle. That's all true. But it's not enough. Because the question remains, how can God bring His blessing to this deceitful man? Just think about other people in the Scriptures who also wrestle with God in one way or another. Think of Job. Think of the psalmists. Think of the Apostle Paul. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord that this thorn in the flesh would be taken away. But then there's one more wrestling match in the Scriptures, which I think is the missing piece of the puzzle. It's in a scene where, just like Jacob, a man leaves those he's with and finds himself alone. It's in a situation like Jacob, the night before a day of reckoning. And in this scene, the man throws himself on the ground and says, "Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus himself wrestled with his Father. And Jesus himself ultimately submitted himself to the will of his Father so that there would be the greatest blessing. He wrestled with his Father, but he willingly gave his life for all, so that the blessing of the forgiveness of sins would come to all the nations. In the big picture of the Bible story, God could bless Jacob because Jesus took the curse. God's blessing through wrestling is there for you because Jesus himself entered into that for you. And he took more than a tap on the hip. He took the full weight of God's punishment on himself so that all that is left for us are the light taps of God's loving discipline, the little wake-up calls we need in life. As Jacob's wrestling match was over, the sun rose on him. It was a new day. And as Jesus' wrestling match was over, he rose victorious from the dead, bringing new life for you and for me. It is a mystery as to why we can seem to only truly encounter God and receive his blessing in our weakness. But it's an even greater mystery that we only truly encounter God and receive his blessing in his weakness. That is, in Jesus Christ and him crucified. This God of ours, he's no tame lion. He's not even safe, as we would like to think about it. Jacob concludes, "I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." He's amazed he survived the ordeal. But he is good. He does bring his blessing through the wrestling. Don't let go of him. And may he always bless you. In the name of Jesus, amen.